In this episode of Cubs Out Loud, we are joined by the incredibly handsome Hadrian McQuaig to discuss cruising. From bathrooms to arcades, we take a peek into the underhanded world. So journey down the glory hole as COL 277 starts now. Everybody, welcome to Cubs Out Loud, episode number 277. It is another one of our Google Hangouts here, so if you're hearing this by audio, might as well just pop over to the website, cubsoutloud.com, and view the video here, because you're going to love what you see, because, of course, we've got Damon.
Hey. And,
we got Gary.
Yo, yo, what up?
And we got one of our favorite guests, Hadrian!
Hey, everybody!
Just earlier in the show, he was petting his pussy, but that's another matter altogether. So today is another one of our Let's Talk About Sex. Today we're talking about cruising.
Cruising.
I know nothing.
Really?
Well, I know about cruising.
I was going to say, one doth protest too much immediately.
Yeah, there's a little too much. Like you know the idea of cruising.
Well, right. Let's tell us your definition of cruising, since you're the outsider on this one, maybe. What do you think cruising is?
I'm not sure.
It's a song by Wills and Gwyneth Paltrow.
The only thing. Oh, excuse me. I'm a. Excuse me. The only thing I can think of, like, cruising is, like, when you're, like, way back when, before the internet, and people were, like, driving down Fifth Avenue and going, hey, baby, how you doing there? And trying to get hitched.
Mm.
Or hooked up. Not necessarily hitched. Hitched is, like, getting married. But we're not
hitched
for that. Gonna hook.
Hitch.
Hook up. Anyways. Yeah. Sorry, I'm just not feeling that great today, as you probably can tell. So, considering the fact that I'm pretty much one who likes staying in his apartment and not going out, because every time I've gone out, I've gone to a bar and just gotten bored and nice. Just want to go home, because I've got other things that would entertain me, which to me are better. So. Wow, what a great start to this show.
Anyway, Hadrian.
Yeah?
Why don't you give a definition of cruising?
Well, to start with, cruising is pretty much the act of looking for sex. That's about, you can cruise the internet at home in the comfort of your chair on your keyboard. You can cruise Growler. You can cruise the park. You can cruise the mall. You can cruise parking lot, you can cruise the rest stop, you can cruise the Walmart, you can cruise church.
The
you
home
can
cruise
IKEA, Gary.
Yes, IKEA is a very popular place for cruising.
Wait. Why am I getting called out on IKEA?
Remember, I have sucked a guy off at IKEA.
What?
I have sucked a guy off at an IKEA.
Awesome.
In one of those towers, in the living in 400 square feet thing? Totally.
Oh.
Wait, nope, hold on. Okay, so not in the bathroom, actually out on the floor?
Like one of the fake floor? Bathrooms out on the floor, yes.
Ooh. Bravo.
Why do you say these things, Hadrian? You want, you make me, well, anyways, all right, never mind. I'm going to shut up now. Great, I'm on camera.
What, do you think he's just some sort of nice young boy or something like that? I mean, for God's sake, he's done different types of porn.
Yeah, but hey. The fact that the man has had sex in public in a store, I mean, that just...
Oh.
Yeah.
We've had... Anyway. Back to the IKEA thing, Gary. If you remember, one of our previous episodes, it was mentioned guys cruising at IKEA, Matt and Gabe. And you were a little surprised at that.
That's true. Yes, well, to be fair, I am going to hereby own I'm going to lose gay points because I have never been to an IKEA.
Really? Well, I haven't either.
Is there not one near you?
Hashtag gay gasp. Actually, no, there's not. In Erie, Pennsylvania, where I live, the closest one is 2 hours away in Pittsburgh.
That's fair. That's understandable.
Yeah. But all the gays in Pittsburgh have been there many times, apparently, and I know that when I go, apparently I have to go to the food court, whatever, concession and get the meatballs. Like, I'm aware that there's this whole experience. So, yes, I'm aware of it. I just have not gone. That cherry has not been popped yet, so.
But you're an IKEA virgin.
Yes.
Like me. Share something in common yet again, Gary.
Well, Damon, maybe we should go together and we can video cam it and post it to the website.
You can come down here. We'll go to the one in Westchester and we will cruise and we'll put it all together. There we go.
Actually, that would be quite funny if we could get a bunch of guys together and then do nothing but video clips of cruising each other from different angles.
There are a lot of places to play hide and seek in there too.
Well, and then I also would like to recreate the classic picture, and his name completely goes out of my head. Oh, I'm so frustrated. And he lives, I want to say, on the West Coast.
Noodles and Beef.
Yes, where he did the pose on the bed display, where he and that fucking hot ginger like are like looking like they're just about to go to town. Oh yeah, that was
yeah.
That shit was hot.
Yeah. But anyway.
Yeah, back to cruising.
Back to cruising. Wow.
So cruising could be done anywhere. It can be done online, offline. I think Jeffrey is correct that it used to come from offline before the internet came around, that was how gay men found each other. It's how they hooked up.
Well, cruising is a term that comes from the 1950s, from what I understand, and it was the idea that when boys had cars, they'd go cruising through like the main town square kind of thing, and they'd look and pick up girls and take the cliff or whatever old people did.
Make out point.
Yeah, make out point kind of stuff. That's where the term I understand comes from. And some cities still have ordinances against cruising, they call it. Where, like in my hometown of Columbus, Georgia, they still have the old signs posted, no cruising from 5 to 10 p.m. or something, because kids would just cruise the road back and forth. And the rule is, if you pass that point more than twice in a 30-minute period, you can be written a ticket for cruising, cruising in your car kind of thing. That's where the term originated, my understanding is.
Which makes sense, because here in Erie, if you go up to the lake, we have it used to be called the dock. It's now, I think, called the pier, and they redid it over. But it's the same thing. It's an area that you can drive through and park. You can look at the lake waters, that kind of thing. And when I was a kid in high school, that's what everybody did. Everyone went cruising down on State Street down to the dock. And it's exactly what you're describing. But I agree, even those then, I don't know if it's as much as popular with the kids today. I sound so old when I say that. But yeah, about that's an essence of cruising. I could see that. And so I imagine it's a way that men could pick each other up.
Yeah. So,
and it was a heterosexual term then, but it works both ways. Heterosexuals can go cruising just as much as gay guys. We just enjoy it a whole lot more.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Nice. So that means
other cultures, like in Europe, it's called dogging or cottaging.
So, oh, yeah.
Cottaging.
Yeah, because the bathrooms out in parks and stuff are called cottages.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
And tea rooms and something like that.
Tea rooms are typically in bars kind of thing, so it's kind of like shooting fish in a barrel. But yeah, same concept. Yeah. If you're going somewhere where it's all gay guys, like a bathhouse or something like that, I don't really consider it cruising because you're going to get it. It's all there. It's just all you can eat buffet. But if you're if you're looking for dicks somewhere where you normally wouldn't find a dick that's willing, then that's cruising. When there's a greater challenge of rejection and risk of rejection, that is.
Well, does that then mean that rest stops aren't considered cruising?
No, that's cruising.
I don't know. I would expect to take there.
Well, I think public bathrooms that are not in a gay establishment, then it's considered cruising because you're not, even though there's going to be a lot of penis hanging out, no pun intended, that's exactly what it is. You know, there's an essence of that. So it is possible. So yeah, I would totally say that rest areas, rest stops. When I grew up and I was discovering my sexuality, I'll never forget my mom and I took a trip to Vermont and we stopped at a rest stop in New York. And I was older, high school, or just going to college. And I remember we stopped at a rest stop, and there was a glory hole between the two stalls. I went and I, you know, had to sit down to go to the bathroom. And I remember seeing it and figuring out very quickly what that was about, and taking forever to go to the bathroom. You know, and of course I'm with my mom and she's waiting in the car by the time I finally get back out and she was like, is everything okay? And I'm like, yeah, everything's fine. But all I kept thinking was, is like, why are you here? Why is this experience happening now? Like, because I was like, I would like to figure out more of how this works and everything. And of course, you know, there was nobody there at the time, but it was quite obvious because, you know, there was graffiti around the glory hole explaining, you know, basically what you do.
Instruction manual with your glory hole.
Well, exactly. It was basically, you know, someone wrote with black magic marker. It was like, you know, put dick here with an arrow point, you know what I mean? Like, great blowjob awaits you, something like that, you know.
Oh, God.
And so years later, when I was after college and I was able to drive, I took a road trip and tried to find the rest area, but I only went, so, you know, I drove like an hour and a half that direction, and then I was like, it's got to be further, no, fuck it. Or they had changed the rest area, you know what I mean, and replaced it. Couldn't even tell anymore, so. It is a very fond memory in my younger life. anyways. I discovered cruising before I knew what cruising was, so to speak.
Very much the same here. I used to go on trips with my grandmother. She would go driving all over the place to visit family and stuff when I was a kid. And I remember like being 6 or 7. I was very, very young. And we went to a rest area. And I had a habit of being a peeker already. Like if there was a urinals, like a bank of urinals with no partitions between them, which that's a fairly recent thing, I was there and look. You know, I'd go to the little urinal, the one that was close to the ground, and like look left and right, looking at guys and stuff. And guys would like let me, like I made eye contact with some of these guys. They just like stand there, not pissing for a while, letting me watch. And I'm like, okay, gotta go back to my grandmother now. I would just go. So cruising, but not. I was just, you know, kid. I didn't know what to do.
Well, it's the initial cruising where you're just looking.
Exactly.
It's almost like a shopping window shopping experience. You don't have the money, but it's
yeah. Perfect.
Right, right. You don't have the currency. Like you
yes.
And the currency in this case happens to be time to invest to commit to the transaction, so to speak.
Oh, gosh.
One of the most important aspects of cruising.
I will. I grew up in suburbia town, and one of the things I do remember is there's 7th Street in my town that leads to downtown, and there are a number of adult bookstores and strip clubs and whatnot on the street. And I remember my mom being like, we would drive it because it was the only way to get, one of the ways to get into town. So we passed by them often. But she would always be like, oh, you know, don't worry about that. Don't look at that. Don't, you know, you don't need to worry about what it is. But I'm sitting there looking like, ooh, okay, what's that? What's that over there?
And yeah. I grew up in Rochester, Minnesota.
And
I had none of that. Yeah. I think there was a bookstore that, as far as I know, there was like one adult bookstore, and maybe there was a couple of others somewhere else, but there was just one bookstore downtown, but it was like off on one of the side streets that barely anybody goes off of or something.
Oh, good God.
And it was like this small store, and yeah.
Yeah.
There wasn't much. Otherwise, it was like, sure, go up to Minneapolis, totally have one. So,
yeah. Interesting.
There's always cruising in every town. Like, every small town across America has cruising. I mean, yeah. in your little hometown, there's probably a park or a mall or even like the Kmart. There's some area that can be used for cruising and is used for cruising in some capacity. So that's it's out there and every town has it. It's ubiquitous.
I agree.
As long as there's a Homo Depot, you'll be fine.
Yeah, well.
That's more for lesbians, but you get the idea.
Still sort of a fantasy. So, you know, hot construction guys.
Hello, sir. Could you help me with my plumbing?
Nice. Well, and here in Erie, like, there's three infamous places that we kind of, up in this area, culturally, we called them pickle parks. which was a notorious area that you could go get, you know, head or fuck around or whatever. And all of them are parks of some sort. Two of them are public parks to the city, so to speak. So, like, there's a rest area at the one. So, obviously, you know, people are probably cruising and hooking up in the bathroom. There's another one that is just kind of a parking lot. It's like a city central park. So, you know, it's kind of a town square, for lack of a better reference. A lot of cruising used to happen there. And then the third one is actually at a state-run park. And it has beaches and that kind of stuff. And so infamously there's a gay beach, which is not true. Everyone says that there is, and I'm like, no, there's no such thing as a gay beach. Like, we don't rank that high on the gay beach. But notably, guys do try to hook up there on what are, you know, typically referred to as the trails, which are legitimately paths through the woods, where they fuck around. But also notably, all three of these places are known by law enforcement, and sometimes they go in and they do crackdowns. Yeah. So you've got to be careful about the concept of cruising that you're going to go meet up, which is where, Adrian, I'd like to know your thoughts. I think that the technology has changed cruising so much because now with apps and websites, the public aspect and even the titillation of maybe getting caught is so far reduced because I don't see many people going to those places. At least, I'll be fair, I don't go, so hence I don't see, but I don't hear about people doing that as much anymore because of Growler and Scruff and Grindr and Tinder and all that stuff.
It could also kind of change it because if you think about it, so you're on Growler, you go to the park, and it tells you who's nearby. And then you select a guy, where are you? Oh, I'm over here. Oh, I see you. Hey, why don't we meet here? And then you go meet, and you've just cruised.
I haven't experienced that yet. I don't think people cross their cruising styles with like that, where they go to the park and then use the app. I haven't seen that before, and I have cruised parks in recent memory, like in the last year. So I haven't experienced that before. Typically, when you go to a park, it is a unique level of anonymity that whoever's at the park can present. If they had the app, they would probably use it. But if they had some fear of using the app, if they were worried that, you know, somebody will see the app on my phone or there's a digital footprint somewhere of me using this app, that's usually why people go to parks, because your own personal private presence is the ultimate form of anonymity, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really good point. To me, that makes me think about like when people go to an adult arcade or to an adult bookstore that has video booths, you know, whether they happen to have a glory hole between them or the glass that, you know, you can press the button that goes from opaque to clear, all the different kind of stuff. Right. I think what you're saying, Hadrian, brings up an excellent point that those locations are known for the potential of activity, and I could see that people would only go to those places because they don't want, like, granted, your anonymity isn't really there because you can see the other people, but as far as the, you know, Big Brother tracking you aspect, it's kind of limited, although technically if you have a smartphone or any phone of a modern age now and it has GPS in it, if you don't shut that shit off and know how to fix it, you can still be tracked. Theoretically.
And parks have the lack of questionability. If your car is parked in front of a porn store, people can see your car. If you're parked at a park, it's a park. Most heterosexuals in the straight world wouldn't look at a car parked at a park and immediately think, oh, they're sucking dick. That is an LGBT thing. And turn my echo there. And you can go to a park and you can say, I'm just walking the park. And also, parks are free. They don't cost any money. As we're typically, bookstores and that sort of thing cost like $10 to get into the booth area or $1 a minute for the booth, you know, that kind of stuff. There's all kinds of costs involved with those. There's a money trail, that kind of stuff. And as we're a park, and they're much more, parks are everywhere. You can, I probably pass 3 parks on the way to work every day. So it's easy to stop by, it's right there, and when you walk away, it's done. I mean, the only evidence is what's left in the dust in the trees somewhere.
Which is true. Like, for instance, I'm not going to reveal too much information, but there's a large city nearby me, it's a couple hours away, that infamously has a pickle park, but it's called the Fruit Loop. Because it's where everybody is known that wants to go get dick or ass hangs out. And the reason why it's called a loop is because it's literally that. It's like a cul-de-sac. It's a big park. It has lots of different areas, but one very specific, unique area is where all the cruising goes on. And so you can drive around and it loops around and you come right back out, or you can park your vehicle and go walking in the woods, you know, and get the hookup. And so...
Yeah. Yeah,
I agree with you, Hadrian, that it's a different form of anonymity in that, especially on the cost perspective, you're accurate. You don't really have to invest any money other than gas and time.
When I was Louisville is where I was born and raised, and it had Iroquois Park, and I will go ahead and mention it because it's also in Highlands, which is one of the gay neighborhoods in Louisville. And Iroquois Park was notorious for cruising. Like, when I was a happy little gay boy growing up, that's where people would tell me where things would go on. Are you going to Iroquois Park? You know, you can park your car, or you can walk up the trails, and you can go get some. You know, it's like, it was really that easy. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. That's good to know. Granted, I don't think I'm going to ask my mom to drive me to Iroquois Park. <Be like this. laughs>
Yeah, that would be a little awkward, I imagine.
Yeah.
Well, the park that I referenced with the Fruit Loop, when I was in college, one of my best friends of the time, he decided, because we went to a gay bar in the city, he decided we were going to go to the Fruit Loop, but he didn't tell me. So I'm naive. I did not drive at the time, so I'm with him in his car, and in one essence, a prisoner of wherever we're going. And so we end up going to the Fruit Loop, and I don't know until we arrive, and then I quickly figure out where we are. And I nearly had a panic attack. I was not ready for that aspect of my life. Even though I had come out, I was freaked beyond belief, because in my head I had all these notions that, like, there were undercover cops around and we were going to get busted and arrested, and like I was like, I ain't ready to go to jail. you know, and it was funny because my friend stopped and parked the car and I was like, what are we doing? And he's like, well, we're just going to sit here. And I'm like, we're what? It was like, why? And he's ignoring me, and he's kind of like, see that guy over there? And I'm like, what about him? And he's like, you know, maybe you should go over and talk to him. My friend was trying so hard to, like, pop my cherry of cruising and, like, hooking up. But he wasn't saying that, and I was just so not ready. I was, I was just barely 21, which is the legal age to drink in the States. That's why I was freaking out. I was like.
So, first of all, cruising is not a team sport.
No. No, it is not.
Cruising is a 1-to-1 ratio thing. It really is not supposed to be like that. I mean,
it can start 1-to-1, and depending on where you are, it can
go. And then you've got an orgy in the woods.
Wait. I want to pause you real quick, Hadrian. What about couples? You don't think couples can cruise?
They can, but they have to act like they don't know each other.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's one over here. There's one over here. Yeah. One guy picks the guy up. The other kind of comes and joins.
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry. When you said one-on-one, I was like, wait. I know lots of people that have open relationships.
Just remember.
I would do that. The car and like point and say, oh, that guy over there. No, you can't. No.
Yeah.
There's no team in cruising, but there is a you and I.
Ha ha! Oh!
Clever.
I think we have a new tagline. So I apologize for interrupting, Hadrian, as you were saying.
You'll spook a guy out with those kind of tactics. Like, I mean, quote unquote straight guys, or the bi guys, or the guys that are in the closet, whatever they are, whatever their situation is, if they're at a park, they are typically wanting a uncomplicated, very direct contact kind of thing. Very little talking. I mean, in my experience, at least, that if they see two guys or something like that, they're like, no, that's too complex, and they will go shy away from it. It's an extremely fragile situation to hook up with a guy at a park.
Yeah.
In any public situation, it can be just the slightest thing can throw off the whole balance, and they're like, no, because it can end that easily. You could be dick out, getting on your knees, and he's like, no, zip and out.
Yep. Right, and I agree with you, Hadrian. I don't mean to interrupt you, Damon, but I think that's one thing that people don't know about is that cruising is – I think the reason why it can be so, for lack of a better word, titillating or exhilarating is because it really does provide a huge adrenaline rush because of the preciousness, for lack of a better word, the immediacy and how the balance can tip one direction or another, that in an instant, the whole thing's over.
Absolutely.
And people kind of scatter, for lack of a better analogy, like roaches when the lights come on. Do you know what I mean? Like, everybody's just like, nope, and we're done.
Period as well. Like, once you squirt, boom. It's just as if they said no and walked away the first time. It's over that easy. And there's no, oh, hey, what's your number or anything. There's none of that shit. Because typically something I try to point out to people when it comes to online apps like Growler and Scruff and Grindr and that sort of thing and being in a park is that with an app, you have to talk. You have to say, you have to, the person, like if I, let's say I'm married, three kids, etc., I have to admit in wording I want to hook up with a guy. I have to say it in the end. Mm-hmm. As where at a park, I don't have to say shit. I can just be in the blueberry bushes with my dick out, and it magically gets sucked. But there's a psychological aspect to cruising for not us as gay guys, because we have conceptually accepted ourselves as gay. These guys in the parks, they can't do that. They are just, even in booths, they know they're in a place where it's all men. They know that men stick their dicks through the holes. But they're like, I'm just going to happen to get into this booth right here and put my dick in this hole and get serviced. And I might have even gotten into a booth next to somebody I thought was attractive. They would never admit that out loud.
Uh-huh.
No, and I completely agree with you, Hadrian, that if they were to be asked about the experience, whether it be immediately afterwards or years later, there could be a complete and rational, on their side, denial of what happened.
What me?
Yeah, and like, what are you talking about? That wasn't, I never had a guy blow me. I never had a guy suck me off. Like, I never got fucked up the ass and got poison ivy accidentally, or whatever it may be.
Poison ivy.
There's a certain level of like split personality there where that's somebody else to them. That is some other need they have to fulfill that cannot participate, that is not contiguous with their normal life that they present to the public.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that also stems to another piece. Hadrian, what are your thoughts about the whole, I'm going to use this cultural reference, but I don't mean the use of it, the whole no homo. By that I mean, just because I let a guy suck my dick and take my load, that doesn't make me gay. I think that the piece of what cruising is about is it's a hookup, it's a release, and there's no attachment.
Absolutely. And glory holes can provide that because it's just a hole in the wall, your dick goes through, it gets wet, you pull it back, and you're out a few ounces of spunk, and that's about it.
You never know who's on the other side.
They know. You know, deep down they know what's on the other side. And some guys are so picky about who they will let suck their dick, but they are making some choices there about what's going on with their body, of course.
Right, and like, so I'll talk about on XTube, one of the things that I have a preference for watching are guys that actually post videos of them, that they have their own glory hole, be it at their home or whatever, that they do that. it's a culturally a part of the past of my life. I'm of the generation, I think, Hadrian, you're part of it as well, that, you know, we didn't have quite the ability to be able to hook up, not like today. So you learned about cruising, you figured it out, and you took whatever the paths were that would get you to the thing that you wanted. And so that's a part of, like, my reference. I still, to this day, you know, like that concept. Mm-hmm. I own the fact that I think glory holes are sexy. I know some people that just can't wrap their brain around it. We did the LTAS already about glory holes and the discussion of it, and Hadrian admitting that if it's as big enough to fit your head through, it's not really a glory hole. But I still debate that slightly, but anyways. I think that is definitively what it's about. Cruising is about the anonymity and the quick release, even if it takes 20 minutes to half an hour, so to speak.
Yeah. I agree with that. One of my first... I'll go ahead and tell the story because I think it's sweet. I was at a mall in Lexington. I had been in college, and I was actually going to the restroom for the intended purpose of going to the restroom. I was there with a group, and we had free time, quote unquote. So I went to the restroom, and I'm at the urinal, and I'm peeing, and the guy next to me gets next to me, and it almost instantly turns into that, like, it makes that turn from, oh, we're just taking a piss, to we're looking at each other, and yeah, we're definitely interested in doing something. Hot daddy bear, by the way.
Well, that helps.
Yeah, it was fun, and we, you know, it was one of those awkward situations because this was the door to the restroom was right there, and then there was the sink, and then there were the urinals, and then there was a toilet, and we're going through the motions, and we're getting to, like, grabbing each other and touching each other. Someone comes in, and we stop. And then that guy takes forever. I don't know what the fuck he was doing. And then he finally leaves, and we're just kind of still sitting there peeing. And then I pretend like I'm washing my hands and all that stuff to kind of keep the interest going. And the guy still stays there. The other guy leaves, come back. We're still playing and messing around. Another guy comes in, and that kind of ends it. Because now we're getting interrupted too many times. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So he leaves, and I wait for a minute, and I leave, and I see him with his wife. And
nice.
It was this,
Adelf.
And I just found it very interesting. I was like, oh.
So I want to own or admit or confess, all the bathroom cruising scenarios that I'm aware of, videos that I've seen, never had an experience. And it mystifies me to no end how people hook up like that. I'm like, how does that work? Like, even gym locker rooms and stuff like that, and saunas. I'm like, it's funny because there's, for a long time when I was a younger gay, I thought there was a bubble around me that prevented that from happening. And I just finally I surrendered to the concept of place and time. Like, it's not the place and time that I'm in.
All it takes is one willing person to initiate.
Yes. You think about it, bathrooms are the most intimate and the most anonymous place that men spend their time in every day.
Yeah.
At work, even. There's no talking. There's somebody from another department there. You know, you're there, you do business, you go. You go into a bathroom at a Walmart, etc. It is, your dicks are hanging out and nobody says anything and nobody introduces her. Women, they go in the bathroom and they, like, spill their life story.
Yeah,
men don't do that shit. And it's like, I don't know how to explain it. It's like you're either looking or you're not for dick. And if you are open to the experience of cruising and you know what to go for and what to look for, if you're standing next to someone at a urinal and they glance at you and you glance at them, it only takes that one peek and then it's on.
Yeah.
Then there are two factors involved: time and risk.
Okay, so it's interesting that you say that because I think it was on Tumblr. There was a quote that was up, and it said, I think it was 6 seconds. It says, locking eyes for 6 seconds is an indication, a request for sex or murder, or something goofy like that. Like, it cracked me up to no end. But is that what you're referring to, Hadrian? Is, like, the look, the connection, so to speak, visually?
There is. I often tell people, it's hard to do over the camera with you guys. I usually do it. It's an analogy I give in person, but it's just a split second too long. It's like there's a difference between this. You know, that's I just made eye contact with you and I didn't mean to kind of thing. Then there's this. It's that difference of just a teeny tiniest bit too long. And it's also body language. You know, they're like, they're facing towards you is important, or they're looking at the bathroom door or the bathroom stall, or they're looking at your dick, or they're glancing at your crotch kind of thing.
Yeah.
There's a whole other language of cruising that is completely nonverbal to indicate to someone that I want to suck that, I want you to suck mine kind of thing.
So what are some of that, what is some of that language?
It's a lot of body language, the facing of someone, looking for a place to play kind of thing, keep making eye contact, keep looking around kind of bit. The most important one is this. So you're just standing there.
Visuals!
And then it's just you adjust. That's all it is. The simplest adjustment is all it takes to indicate to someone, hey, we're focused on this area down here. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't see that clearly. Could you do it again?
You just want to see me grab my crotch again.
Maybe.
But yeah, that's the biggest one. I mean, I've seen that one everywhere. Like in my hometown where I first cruised, in Atlanta where I live, Key West, everywhere I've been, that's always the grab of the crotch. Even like through a glory hole, because guys won't show their dick immediately. Through like a booth at a porn store with a glory hole booth, the guy will like feel himself first to kind of say, hey, I'm feeling myself, and then you feel yourself. And that's the communication that, hey, we're both doing this thing, and you're not a cop kind of thing. It's the language of, are you a cop, is sometimes what I call it.
Okay. Jeff, I'm sorry, we were talking, and I thought you had said something.
I just forgot what I was going to say.
Okay. So I agree with you, like, the nonverbal communication. What other things are there as far as, or even, is there very much that's verbal, or do you really think a lot of cruising is nonverbal?
I think verbal is a nonverbal, I mean, cruising is a nonverbal sport. It is a lot of not talking and seeing how much you communicate. Once the door closes or there's some level of privacy where it's face-to-face, I don't mean like through a hole. I mean like face-to-face. There typically is some whispering, like, you know, what are you into or something like that. Sometimes there's that kind of talk. Sometimes a guy just whips it out and just kind of looks away. I've seen that where a lot of straight guys that are very, very closeted and having a hard time with identity, they'll just whip it out and look up kind of thing, like, are you going to do this or not?
Mm.
So I've seen that kind of stuff,
I've
too.
I've seen that, too.
And then there are guys like glory holes that will, like, lock their body, like, creating a seal in the hole with their thighs and with their body where the dick is just sealed up against the hole. And if you stop playing with it, they'll stay locked there because they don't want to know. They don't want to see you. They don't want to know anything. And if they pull their dick away from the hole, they're tucking up and leaving because they don't want you to present your dick or anything either. And if a guy's just looking up, I mean, he doesn't want to see your dick or anything. He just wants to get serviced.
That being said, how do you, because now I'm curious about something, from your experience, how do you know during cruising what a person wants? And by that I mean, like, obviously what you were just describing is most likely a person who, they know what they want and they're making that known, but is there some way to communicate what, who's going to do what, so to speak?
Well, just like animals do, you know, typically oral is implied. That is the number one go-to. Typically, it's not a jerk-off session. I've been in situations where I'll, like, try to go down on someone and they'll, like, pull away, like, pulling at my shirt, saying, no, don't suck my dick kind of thing. We can jerk off kind of thing.
Mm.
I've had guys that just, you get in the booth, you suck them for a second, they suck you for a second, next thing you know, daddy of 20 years with three kids and everything is bent over the back of the bathroom, the toilet. He's just there presenting his ass to me. It's a very nonverbal thing. It's, you know, hey, do you want this? Hey, I'm on my knees. Hey, I'm standing up with my dick out. What are you going to do? I've seen guys just stand up on the toilet so that they're high enough so I can suck them without, you know, without having to get on my knees kind of thing. I mean, it's all the normal language stuff. You put the body part you want played with in front of the person.
Yeah.
Like, well, okay. That's interesting. I like all of that. However, my brain is stuck imagery-wise, because I'm a visual thinker, about the guy standing on the toilet, because then you're kind of at crotch level, but I've met you in person. No offense, dude. You're tall, so, like, they'd have to be kind of tall, and then the top of them maybe, most likely, is visual above the stall, so...
This was at a Pilot gas station in Tennessee, as I recall. I was on my way to Memphis. And those things they have the big concrete walls, this has partitions, and they go all the way to the ceiling. So if he's standing on it, you can't see. But there was a gap in the floor, And there was water on the floor, so I think maybe he was being courteous and didn't want me to get on my knees in the wet floor. And also, him standing up also presented two pair of feet underneath the stall. So if anyone glanced, they would see one person instead of two.
Aha ha ha.
Because that's another part of the art of cruising, is not getting caught.
Ah, that's actually where I wanted to go next.
That is getting caught is, of course, catastrophic.
Yeah. Because it has happened. Not, well, kind of.
Happened to you?
Yeah. Not police. No, not police. I'm just talking like other people.
Like,
I'm
going customers or patrons, or like the people who run the store or wherever.
Customers.
Okay.
Like another customer kind of thing. It wasn't authority.
Well, tell us what happened. Come on, you beat around the bush. Go ahead and spill it.
Dr. Hadrian wants a counseling session. Yes. Get on the couch and talk.
Tell me of your pain. Gosh.
Where was this at? It was a store. It was a department store. I won't say which one because I kind of work for department stores and I don't want to get that going. So, but it wasn't the one I work for. And I encountered this guy who was very much what's the word I'm looking for? Interested. We started at the stall, at the urinal, and we went into one of the stalls. He proceeded to go down on me, and within 2 minutes, the door opened up, and someone was walking through, and clearly they weren't going to the bathroom. They walked through. We stood still, but they must have seen something, and they knocked on the door, and then they left. But they specifically knocked on the stall door and left.
So you kind of got a warning from the sounds of it.
Yeah. And it was enough for my compatriot to freak out and dip up, and he was out. And that was all we had. So yeah.
Now, curious, do you think they were trying to cruise as well, or do you think they were?
I think they were really just kind of either giving a warning or they were being courteous.
Huh.
I don't know if that, you know, I didn't see the person. Like, they left the bathroom and that was it. But by the time I got to the bathroom, there was no one else around the restroom. So I don't know if they were waiting or whatnot.
Interesting.
I didn't want to spend a whole lot of time looking around to see who was.
Yeah, I don't blame you. That's not the situation to go investigating.
Yeah.
Yes, it's not the time to put your Agatha Christie hat on and figure out the mystery. So
I kind of did a quick cursory look and then bolted.
So my question for you, Damon, is do you recall if that bathroom only had one stall?
Oh, God.
And I only ask because, to me, that would make sense if there was only one stall. The person legitimately might have wanted to use it and just tried to give you the notion of, hey, hurry up. Like, not really maybe knowing what was going on, possibly. Because I've seen that happen. Like, some people, they really got to go. You know what I mean? And so instead of verbalizing and saying, hey, can you get the hell out of there? Like, they just might indicate through a knock or some, you know, thing to, you know.
There was...
Hey, I'm glad you're using the toilet to suck dick, but I've got to poop.
There was another stall, if I'm remembering.
Okay.
But it's foggy at best, so I can't. But I have a feeling there was another. Yeah, there was a standard stall and a handicap stall.
Right.
So yeah, so there were two.
Okay, so in that case, I would go back to my. I think it was a warning, which is actually that's very nice of them. You know, as opposed to, you know, getting verbal and saying, you know, that's disgusting, or I'm getting the manager, I'm calling the cops, or who knows what they could have done. Interesting. Yeah, I have no bathroom stories. I will own that I have arcade adult bookstore stories, but that's about it. Like, even though I've gone to parks, I've not hooked up at a park. I've cruised at parks, but never met up with anybody, per se.
Ditto. I've cruised at parks, but I've not hooked up at a park.
What about you, Hadrian? I'm almost willing to say yes to all the categories, but I don't want to speak on your behalf.
I've done every category of cruising you can imagine. I've hooked up in almost all of those situations. I've done Central Park in New York City. There's an area called the Bramble, or the Ramble, actually, that is incredibly cruisy. I went there at 10 o'clock in the morning on a Tuesday, and it was full of people second day.
Wow.
Wow.
I've done little small town, bathrooms, like a soccer field with a bathroom off to the side kind of thing. I've done those. My hometown in San Diego, here in Orlando. I've done tons of parks. I've done half dozen rest stops. And I've done malls, mall bathrooms of all kinds. Macy's bathrooms are the best. They usually have the bath lounge or whatever they call the resting lounge kind of thing, where it's like the stall with full door and full walls. It's total privacy kind of thing. Those are the best. It's almost like they know, guys are going to come here and suck it. We might as well make it private.
That's too funny, because when you said like the bath lounge, I thought you meant there was like a parlor seating area before you get to the actual bathroom.
Oh, there is. It used to be a Rich's at North Lake Mall in Atlanta. It used to be a Rich's, and it had like a couch and all this other stuff in the bathroom. Like, there was a lobby to the bathroom kind of thing.
It was just men's room.
And the men's room. And the bathroom is like, the urinals were like the big scoop kind that stick out like 2 feet from the wall. There's no partition between them. I'm like, okay, some faggot designed these bathrooms. there's no privacy. Like, some bathrooms have like the toilet, the urinal that's sunk into the wall. So you can like be up in it, like hiding all your junk as you're pissing. This one, there was no hiding. I mean, you were pissing like 12 inches from the wall kind of thing. And anybody standing next to you can see you.
Like the troughs? The ones that are just on the floor?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Then there were the stalls that had the full, like, slatted doors. Like, it had the slats in it. So if you're inside the bathroom, you can see people's feet. But if you're outside, you can't see shit. So it was like it was designed for cruising. It was crazy.
Huh. Well, that's interesting. And Jeff, you brought up about the trough thing. I have to admit, troughs are kind of hot in a way. And I don't mean in the water sport, like, I want to climb in it way. I mean in the, I've seen that done. Not participated, but I am a voyeur. but, I have seen people, for a long time, I don't think it's the case anymore, sports stadiums were infamous for the trough.
Oh, yeah. I don't think I've ever been to a baseball stadium which doesn't have a trough in the bathroom.
Oh. Lowest bidder stuff.
Yeah, so you were talking about the 12 inches, like the distance thing. Hadrian, what do you think about guys that, I don't know how else to phrase it, they show off when they piss? And by that I mean there's a notable distance between them and the wall. They might even, like, stand kind of Superman stance with both hands on their hips. You know what I mean? Like, junk on full display. Like, what do you think about that? Like, do you think there's like a machismo thing? Do you think that's sort of an invitation? Is it a blend? I mean,
it depends on the guy and what they're after. I mean, when it comes to the machismo thing, it is heteronormative. And the guy, straight guys can do that just as much. And straight guys are all about showing off their dick. Some guys are just all about showing off their dick, and they have no interest in seeing another guy's dick. So it could be just showing it off. That's all it is. Or they could be, they just want to see people look at it. And there's a certain level of homoeroticism to it, but it's, it's probably a 2 or 3 on the Kinsey scale kind of thing.
So how can anyone – I'm asking because I'm curious about this. I've always wondered, how can you tell the difference between the – hey, I'm proud of my junk, and hey, look at my junk, and hey, you want to do something with my junk?
I would say it would be the eye contact. A guy who's just doing it from a little bit of stare at the wall like a normal straight guy would when he's just taking a piss and is totally oblivious to cruising. A guy who might want to get his dick sucked or at least know it's being looked at will glance at you, looking you, looking in the eyes kind of thing. And a guy who is definitely more of a 3 or a 4 on the Kinsey scale, who's definitely looking to get some play, is probably looking at your dick too.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
And it also depends how their behavior with it too. If they just whip it out, piss, put it away, and wash their hands, I mean, okay, that's pretty straightforward. But if they piss and they're like standing there for a minute, or even a few seconds, just letting it drip or whatever, there might be something different there. And then there's, of course, there's the shaking. If you, they always say if you shake it 1-3 times, you're playing with it. If the guy shakes it, and then he shakes it again, and then he shakes it again. I mean, it's, there might be something there.
Yeah. Right. So, like, the thing that intrigues me is the guys who stroke.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is, like, they pee. They kind of, shake off the last of the urine, so to speak, or whatever. And then they stand there and they, they stroke a little bit. They don't necessarily get hard, but there's a part of me that's like, is that a learned behavior? Like, where does that come from? Because I don't actually know. Like, when I think about it, it's not my, I don't know. So, like, when I was wondering.
Sorry, Gary, you've been roboting.
Robo Gary.
All right. Well, he unplugs and plugs back in his headset. Are you better now, Gary?
Uh-oh. Has Gary muted himself?
Anyways.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, I have absolutely no stories because I've never had anything like that happen to me.
Oh.
What are you curious about it, at least?
Oh, for God's sakes, I'm almost cruising in my work. I work at Apple, and of course, Apple has a whole bunch of nice big guys with beards.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Apple fucks with my gaydar so bad.
So,
go ahead.
I'll be going in to pee, and then somebody will come in, I'll look over and be like, ooh. And me being the shy guy that I am, I just got to finish up my business. I turn around, and there's, of course, a mirror across from the urinals. So I go up to wash my hands, and while I do all of everything I do to wash my hands, I'm looking at the mirror, specifically behind me a lot. But never had anything happen. So.
Oh. Doing it at work is hard. I will own up to that. Not saying I've done
it. One guy who I'd like to do hard at work.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes,
you can hear me. All right, now I completely am out of context because all I hear you guys talking about is hooking up at work, I guess.
I'm talking about my lack of experience.
Okay.
And his...
Well, again, if you want to get into the cruising of the bathroom, the first thing you have to do is be open to it. You can't be all business in the bathroom. You can't be all, poop and peeing, leave kind of thing. Wash your hands and go. You have to be like, you have to stand there for just a second. And all it takes is you standing there for a second too long and them standing there for a second too long. And next thing you know, you're rubbing dicks. So,
yeah, and also the there's still plenty of traffic at where I work. So.
Is it like an Apple store bathroom or is it a...
No, it's Apple corporate.
Oh, you work at Apple corporate?
Doing education order entry.
Wow. Fancy smancy.
Yeah, but it's still a contract job.
Yeah. I know a guy who's a manager of an Apple store out in California, and he says that there's a lot of bisexual traffic and a lot of exploration among Apple employees in the stores, and that they're all these big hairy guys that all work there. There's always some level of curiosity, and there's talk of stuff that goes on when people have little parties at their house and that sort of thing. But it's apparently the place you want to work if you want to do a little exploration of your sexuality without actually going to college.
Really?
So wait, I'm confused. There, like the exploration of sexuality isn't at the Apple store.
No, it's just among the employees.
Oh. Great. So now every time I go to the Genius Bar, I'm going to cruise the entire staff and figure out who's might be hooking up with who.
Or cruise to hook up with one of them.
Oh, trust.
Hey, Apple Genius, can I get some home assistance?
Trust me, Apple hires lots of fucking hot bears and cubs. Like, and I know it's not intentional on their part, or at least I don't think it is, but there hasn't been an Apple store I've walked into with an Apple employee that I'm like, damn. And it's normally not the one that helps me. One of the others that helps me. And I'm like, and I don't want to be a jerk and be like, no, no, not you. I want the chubby bearded one over there.
Can someone else assist me? Preferably 6'3" with a beard.
Is that an option on the Genius app when you make a reservation now?
Oh my god, that would be awesome. I would like them to be male. I would like them to have like metrosexual look. Blah 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 blah.
it's the new iCruise.
Oh my god, yes! That's awesome.
Yes.
Tim Cook, make that shit happen.
I'm sorry, Jeffrey. You sign a contract because you're an employee that is working at Apple. You now all your ideas are now a property of Apple. So,
you know what? I personally, for you, you might care. I don't care. I'd be like, make this shit happen. I think that would be funny as hell.
Oh my god. No, I'm saying. Well, since now it's kind of my idea, and it's an idea that Apple now has. I have no control whether they do anything about it. I mean, the thing that, you know, in some sense, they already have the iMessage app. So that's basically an iCruise sort of thing. So
yeah, just needs the location services. Is all it needs.
GPS.
You gotta find them. That's the name.
Oh, that's true. So
there's FaceTime, so that makes it easier to, you know, visualize if necessary.
Then it's cyber cruising.
Ha ha!
You know, it's like, you know, those people that says, "Hey, my Scott name is so and so." People be like, "Hey, hit me up on Chatterbait."
Yes. Oh, goodness gracious.
Well, and that's a new arena I'll talk about. Webcam sites like Cam4, Chatterbait, even the roulette sites. I'm intrigued that I've noticed in the chats, people will talk about where are you at. Like, so for instance, on one of the sites that I've been on, I noticed there's a large amount of people from the continent or country of Texas, which I find very interesting, given that it seems to be a conservative state, that there are people that are like, where are you at in the state?
They're only closet gays because they're conservative. They can't be gay.
Potentially. I find it intriguing because the question about where are you at totally indicates the desire to hook up. Because otherwise, I'm like, why do you care? You're watching them on cam.
Well, it's a way of trying before you buy it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what the unlock feature on Growler's for, is like, show me the goods before I agree to let you into my house.
Mm-mm. Yeah, but you know, side comment about the Growler thing is, hey, I would love to see your pics. Do you think I'm going to unlock for you, motherfucker? God damn it.
I do, because it sets them up. It's easier to unlock than it is to block.
Oh.
Well, it's interesting, because there's two ways I look at the unlock thing on the picks on Growler, since you brought it up. I look at it there's two perspectives. From teaching sales, one of the concepts is if you don't ask, you don't get. Meaning if you don't ask for whatever it is that you want, you're not going to get it. So you should pursue that. And if you want to see the pics, you should ask. However, I'm also 50% on the side of if I want you to see the pics, I will unnaturally unlock them.
True.
Yeah.
Agreed. Or, you know, fair share, you know. I hate it when it says, I would love to see your pics. And then I go to their profile and I can't see theirs. It's not necessarily they're just there. They're locked. They didn't go, "Hi, I would love to see your pics. Unlock," or something like that. Yeah. Although it's just like, no. Maybe I'm just not a cruising sort of person.
Well, and also there's also the aspect where people will unlock their pictures for you as they ask, and then I look through it and I'm like, "Oh, look, a picture of your face. Swipe. Oh, look, another picture of your face. Swipe. Oh, another picture of your face. And swipe, 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 swipe. Face, 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 face. And I'm like, my pictures are like of my ass and of my dick and another of my dick and a soft dick and a hard dick and a dick in my mouth and everything. I've got these hardcore pictures, and your pictures are of the same face. You're like Kim Kardashian every time, too.
And why would we ask you to unlock? We can easily find that. We just pull out a porn.
All right. Now listen,
it's not like it's. All right, nope. He's just a different situation, I suppose.
It is. It's
not everybody knows that.
It's going to be a different personality. I'm going to own this, Hadrian. I am not surprised that you put the X-rated stuff in the locked pics.
Yeah.
However, I am the person that you hate because I don't show that stuff. My philosophy is, you get it in person. You don't get
it
online. I
know, because you unlocked a tidal wave. I'm like, really?
You.
Jelly claps.
You know what? I was all about hooking up with you until you pulled that stunt, fucker. So, no.
Look, there's a reason why they're... if they're not something that's going to... You're going to show somebody, like, a dick a pitch or something, why the hell are they fucking locked to begin with?
Nice, David. That had to be you. So, right, here's the reason why. Even though Big Brother tracks every damn thing about me, I really don't release that stuff because I just don't trust people.
Mm. That's fair.
So that's why if you and I were chatting on that app, I might, in a message, send you a dick pic. But I'm not going to just put it out there. Do you know what I mean? That you just get to see it. And there's been plenty of guys that have said, I would like to see your other pics. And I will typically say first, nothing scandalous, and then I unlock it. Like, giving them the one up, like, sure, I'll unlock them, but you might not necessarily be pleased because all you're going to see is my face. And I consider myself a little old-fashioned that way, I guess. And by that, I mean just me, my generation, the way I was raised. I'm like, I just don't put my shit out there.
Also, think about it this way. Why even put up those other pics and have them locked to begin with if you're going to put them up? I mean... There's no reason to, really. Oh, could you unlock your other picks? Well, it's more like I don't really have any other picks because you're just, it's more of the same.
Well, this isn't not going to see this isn't meant to be bashing on Coley and the app because I do like the app. But when it started, and I think still to this day, one, I had no choice but to have extra locked picks, which I never even put in there. And two, there was no way to get that feature rid of.
Uh-huh.
So to me, I resigned to, well, fuck it, I'll throw like three more face pics up, and I guess they're there. Like, I agree with you, like, there's no point in locking them,
well,
and to me,
why
get rid of them.
Why even have the pictures up?
Well, no, I agree with you, but you have those
slots, you don't have to use them.
But they were automatic. On the app that I used, there was no way for me to get rid of them. They were just there when they got added, and I couldn't remove them. Other than to fill them in, so to speak. Either they were blank or they were there.
Early in the evolution of Growler, there wasn't an option to not use the extra pics. Now they have a remove picture option, which removes them completely. I think you're right.
So the answer is Gary's lazy and hasn't fucking removed them.
There we go.
But my thought is at least show me more of you, even if it's not risque. It doesn't have to be X-rated or even R-rated. It could be just like, here's a picture of my face. Oh, here's a picture of my whole body or me from the waist up with clothes on or something like that. Oh, here's a picture of me in the pool. Aren't I cute in the sunshine burning? You know, something along, you know, there's different aspects you can show in pictures that are at least titillating, if not enticing.
Huh.
That's just my thought. I don't know. I'm not trying to critique people's pictures or anything a lot, but it is a little annoying when it's like the Kim Kardashian, you know, selfie over and over and over again.
This is me from the left. This is me from the right. This is me furzing forward. And then
here's me doing a twirl.
Nice.
I've seen it a few times now. It seems to be cubs that still would live with their parents to do this bullshit. Nice.
Haven't you seen my shorts video?
When
I got these shorts with the two other pairs, I did a shorts video and I had Lenny cute music behind it. You should see it.
Yes, he did a really cute video. I have to say to Hadrian, you and I have seen each other in person now, so I don't think like it's a big deal about my face pics at this point.
I agree. And we didn't see each other enough in person at Tidal Wave, might I add.
Somebody was hungry, and had to go eat.
You should have stayed at the hotel. That's all I gotta say.
Oh, snap. Uh-oh.
Here too.
I think I'm being nice.
When Hadrian asks you to his room, you do not decline.
I don't recall being asked to your room.
It was at the water park. How else was to ask you to my room?
Ask you to the stall. Whatever.
Okay, first of all, his partner Bailey was standing right there at that moment, and even though I'm pretty sure I can accurately say they have an open relationship, that's not necessarily how that works in that moment. And,
oh, and two, you never know.
Oh, well, that's true. But two, it was just merely like the whole like ships passing in the night kind of thing. It was, I happened to be there, I saw that he was there, I was talking to, your pose is not helping. Talk about dick.
I think it's helping quite a bit.
It's helping quite a bit.
I just realized I keep swearing and we're probably... anyways. it was one of those things. I was talking to one of my committee members, AJ, who happened to also be at the water park, and I said, I'll be right back. I need to go say hello to somebody real quick while I have the chance. And that's when I walked over and you and Bailey and friends were getting out of the wave pool and going to go grab a bite to eat. And it was purely a passing moment because I knew I was with my friends. We weren't staying. We weren't doing the full run, quote unquote. And it was just a, hey, I want a name and a face recognition kind of thing. So didn't even accost you like a celebrity and was like, let me take a selfie with Adrian. Or
and there you go. You failed at the art of cruising. You could have totally cruised me. I could have been like, oh, locker room. Yoink.
Oh.
And this
one. Me, Bailey. We'll be back. I'll be back in a few minutes.
All right. So I will own... This is, I guess, the difference between Hadrian and I, because I am passive about that stuff. I expect someone else to take lead. I don't... That's probably why... That probably answers to my earlier thing about why I'm just never feeling I'm in the right place at the right time to do anything, because I expect someone else to initiate.
I think I'm just shy. I'm also passive, but I'm shy. So.
I can kind of... Sometimes I will initiate for the sake of initiating, because I feel like, okay, this is clearly something that's... We're both interested in, and you're not going to do anything, so here you go. But, hey, if you want to do something to me, by all means, go right on ahead. I'm not going to say no.
Yeah, definitely cruising is a bit of a dance, the beginning part. I always call it the booth dance when you go into porn stores for it, because guys will get into booths and switch around and all this other stuff where they're not saying they want you, but they just happen to get in the booth next to you kind of thing, or somebody gets in the booth instead of you and they immediately come out kind of bit.
Yeah.
So there's a dance involved there, and it's not really... You have to take some initiative, and the only initiative you really have to take is getting into the situation with them. That's the only thing. If somebody's standing next to you showing their dick and you're just still standing there without doing anything or looking at them or something like that, you're being too passive, they'll worry that they're offending you. And... Even straight guys that are having identity crisis issues, they don't want to be rejected either.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably why they're in that situation, because they have some level of rejection in their partner or their wife or whoever they're with. There's probably some level of rejection there, or you know that's why they're in this new situation, and rejection can be taken especially hard.
Yeah.
So all you got to do is take one step towards them when they take one step toward at least a half step. To let them know you're interested, and then next thing you know, you're in the handicap booth, bent over.
Uh-huh.
You gotta put your cock in, you gotta take your cock
in. All about. Yes, yes.
Oh my, I never thought of the hokey pokey that way. But
And now you have, and you will never do the dance the same way again.
Very, very true. What do you? I'm very curious about this, Hadrian. Since we're talking about cruising, what do you think the future of cruising is in another, say, 5, 10, 15, 20 years? Like, not all of those, but it's changed and evolved so much over time with culture and technology. Do you think maybe it will stop ever?
Don't know. In-person cruising has been around for a very, very long time. There's evidence that there's been in-person cruising going on way back. I mean, just. Centuries and centuries and centuries of park play and in the night kind of, you know, random, you know, anonymous hookup kind of stuff and alleys or It's been going on for a very, very long time. It's hard to imagine that would end anytime soon, just because of its quick availability and the communication aspect not being necessary. It's a really good way to experiment without having to admit anything or have any kind of long-term connectivity to something. I don't think that'll be going away at all. I think it'll always be around in some aspect. But I do think cruising online, that sort of thing, that's going to increase because that's just where social media is. That's been going on since the birth of the internet on BBS boards way back in the 80s. So yeah. the old age question of age, sex, location will always be around. I do think there's a shift. I was writing about this the other day on my blog, where somebody asked me about bisexuality and how there's a lot more curiosity coming about. And my belief is that in this day and age, more so since maybe the 20s and the 60s, there's more bisexuality as gay marriage is becoming more acceptable. It is a mainstream norm. As where a young man or woman becoming aware of their own questions about their own sexuality, they may have felt that heterosexuality had more to offer because there's a greater level of achievement. There's marriage and kids. Those are the two extra steps that are missing. As where gays and lesbians, you get together and that's kind of the end of it. I mean, you can be married and that you're together for a long time, but having the piece of paper that's officially recognized is a challenge. And kids are often frowned upon with gays and lesbians. I think that the achievement level that can be taken on as a questioning youth examines both gay and straight lifestyles becomes a little bit easier for them. The things are more balanced.
Mm-hmm.
So I think bisexuality will be something that's a little more accepted as youth come up in the next few generations, and that we're going to find that there may be less of a gay community and less of a straight community, and a more ambisexual community will evolve, at least to be a little bit more visible.
So I agree with you.
Cruising may even move away from things like growler and scruff and that sort of thing into something a little bit more universal.
I agree with you on about the sexuality piece, because I've noticed, I want to say in the past 2 to 3 years, there seems to be far more men who own that they exist within the sexual spectrum, mm-hmm. but they don't even like putting a name on it. They just they recognize that they like having an orgasm, and that's all they really want to, like, they did, I think in the concept of labeling may be really what changes, mm-hmm. that people don't want to call themselves bisexual or heterosexual or homosexual. They just want to say, I'm just a sexual person and I just happen to enjoy having an orgasm, whether that's because it involves an orifice of a certain gender or not, so to speak.
And that may even, some of that may even move from not just being about their own selfish sexual needs. It may be more about, you know, a pansexuality, where it's about the other person and the other things they bring to it. They may look at a voluptuous woman and say, she's beautiful, I want to have sex with her, and look at a voluptuous man and say, he's beautiful, I want to have sex with him too. It's not about pleasuring themselves, it's about pleasuring people outside of themselves.
Hmm. So it's, and it's probably more the people are thinking more along the lines of, or not having those inhibitions for, you know, sex is more than just procreation.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think now more than ever, I'm going to speak from American society perspective, since it's where we live, I think that we are now really on the cusp of everybody agreeing that we're all human beings and we all like to have an orgasm. And how that happens is becoming more fluid as far as the experience of where and when and who and what. And I say that because now more than ever, I seem to notice online, be they on cam, on video, Craigslist posts, whatever it is, people are just kind of owning. Like, you know, I'm a straight man and I like having a toy up my ass. Or, do you know what I mean? Or I'm a man and I like wearing women's clothes. Do you know what I mean? Like, they own, I think there's just a lot of now empowerment of owning whatever their fetish is, whatever their notion is, about that kind of stuff. I find it very intriguing from a perspective. I always thought about if I was going to consider going for a master's and a PhD, whether I wanted to go into human sexuality, because I find it fascinating that now more than ever people are just kind of, they're okay with it.
Yeah.
But and that's only because we come from such a repression, such a puritanical history as a country, specifically about, you know, that, you know, hence cruising got established, because people just, we didn't have a place to go, per se.
Yeah. And again, it's not always about the orgasm for the individual. Sometimes it's about bringing pleasure to other people. It's about not necessarily love in a one-on-one aspect we're used to. It's a giving another person pleasure just because it makes them feel good to please other people kind of thing. Sometimes it's not, you know, bisexuality or any kind of sexuality isn't about themselves. And, yeah, I lost my train of thought.
No, that's fine. I agree with you on...
I mean, in a hyper-masculine society that's existed for a few decades, since probably the 1940s, in a post-World War II, the whole hyper-masculine aspect that's been preached, it's falling apart quickly. Boys aren't raised to say, oh, it's, you know, it's about your dick. That's what life's about. It's about your dick. That's going away.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a good aspect. And some people don't go to glory holes and booths and that sort, and go cruising to get their own orgasm off. A lot of them go. Some people just want to be accepted in some face or fashion. I mean, their wife thinks they've gotten fat. This lover they had at work for a while thinks they've gotten fat and old or something like that, or they smell funny. But they can go to the Tamar bathroom and some guy blows them and shows them some level of appreciation for their body, and that's what they're after. That's what they want. They don't want to be rejected anymore. They want someone who accepts them without them having to open their mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And I completely agree with you. I think that's really what it's about, is that there's some level of acceptance for who you are in this moment, whatever that particular thing may be. But it's funny that you say that, because I do think that's changing in an interesting way, that aspect of us and our sexuality, how we relate to each other. I don't know. I appreciate it. I have said for probably about 5 years or more now, I am so thankful that I live in a time and a place in our frame of humanity, of existence, so to speak, as Homo sapiens, that now more than ever, what we love, the four of us, five of us, four of us, one, two, three, four, me, myself, and I, that we as a group collectively, what we love is what we see. You know, I think of my father, who grew up, born in the 50s, grew up in the 60s. My father had a beard since the time he could grow hair. And at that time when he grew up, he was considered a communist, because in the 60s, having a beard was presumed that you were, like, automatically affiliated with that. But now, everywhere I go, every fucking man has facial hair practically somewhere. Right, and so I'm just like, damn, like, and it does, it makes it confusing, I will admit, to go out in public and not know what the hell their sexuality is, because I'm like, that's a hot beard, or that's a great goatee, or whatever it is, that's an amazing Tom Selleck's Magnum PI mustache, whatever it is. And so it is a little confusing, but at the same time, I'm like, I am so happy I live in this time that, you know, that masculinity, natural masculinity, as I call it, is being owned. And with a sense of pride, like, I'm just me, and whatever that is. And so there, the world is full of eye candy now, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yes.
I agree. Like I said, the Apple Store throws off my good are really, really bad. And I work in a pure IT environment now with a company I work with, and it throws me off as well, because geeks and nerds are often chubby with facial hair of some kind and talking about video games and all this stuff. I'm like, gays? You guys, we're going to the bathroom, right? We're doing this? And they're all married and straight, every single one of them almost.
Oh,
motherfuckers.
Although there is this one Tea Party guy who's like super hot, and I happen to be standing in the urinal next to him, and I just couldn't help it. I like went to go zip up, and as I zipped up, I like stuck one leg out just so I could lean over and peek in. And you had a nice uncut pecker there. Just saw it for a second.
Nice.
I usually won't cruise at work. That's like a really strict environment for me. But I just kind of, okay.
You just wanted to take a look.
Yeah. You know, that's another aspect of, you know, of cruising that's not cruising that can be a little throwing off, is that straight guys like to know about each other's dicks a little bit, I think. I think there's It's not gay, it's just, you know, every man's curious about his own dick and wants to measure up to the other masculine figures.
And a parent of him, he'd be like, I'm better than him because my dick is bigger.
Yeah.
Or, oh, my
or
God.
Even, oh, yours is thicker, or you got foreskin. Or, there's this curiosity about other men's dicks sometimes. It's not a gay thing, or even like a maybe a 2 on the Kinsey scale, of just curious enough.
Yeah. Right. It's funny that you say that, Hadrian. I agree that there's a curiosity, but the curiosity does not indicate sex.
Absolutely.
And what cracks me up is, I was just thinking about this recently, as a matter of fact. I went to the movies and was in the bathroom, and there was someone standing next to me or whatever. It was kind of a younger kid, and I couldn't care. But I was thinking to myself, if he was to look, my thought is, don't expect to be impressed. I own that I'm you know, a grower, and so it intrigues me from the perspective of what you were just talking about, that, you know, they want to know, but I'm like, this is not technically a representation. Yet at the same time, I admit that I am impressed by guys who, you know, are, I guess you can see everything. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're you know, in flaccid state, it is impressive, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. What's that,
the
Jeff?
Showers, the hung ones, the not the showers, not growers.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I thought you were going to say something, Hadrian. Sorry.
Oh no, I was saying the I always say the dicks that require no assembly.
Nice.
Okay.
With that, I think it's time to cruise into the end of the show here.
Already? Wow.
Yeah.
But we're in, what, 4 different states. We can't cruise each other in real time in the same place.
I'm sure we could. I'm sure we could find a way.
We're on cam already. We're done. We're cruising now.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, well, Google hasn't bought XTube yet, so we can't make that jump.
We won't get into that. In any case, please contact us. Pop over to our website, comesoutloud.com. In fact, if you're listening to an audio version of this, go there. You can see us. You can also shoot us an email at comesoutloud@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/comesoutloud. Facebook at facebook.com/comesoutloud. Join the COL Entourage group on Facebook. Also, you can find us on Google Plus at google.com/plus comesoutloud. Also, join the COL Entourage group community on Google Plus. You can also go over to bearunderground.net, and you'll see the Cubs Out Loud Entourage there. You can join us. We would very much like to have you there. Those communities, they're all for you. Please discuss whatever you want. It doesn't have to be about the show. Just what you want to talk about with the other fans of Cubs Out Loud. You can find me anywhere on the internet. It's Box, Text Box, Puppy Box, Cub Box, something or other.
I am Theater Cub 79 on Bear 401, Bear Underground, Tumblr, and HeftyNet.
And I'm Gibber 73. I'm not going to list all my places. If you put in my name, you'll probably find me. And of course, our guest.
I'm Hadrian, and I'm usually Hadrian M or Hadrian MQ on almost everything. And I am Hadrian X on Tumblr, and you can find me at HadrianM.com.
All right. And with that, say goodnight, everybody!
Bye.
Good night.